Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, want to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you're not feeling like calling us, you're a little shy, whatnot, you can always email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that email address is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You can also social media with us. Is that such a thing?
Social media?
I'm saying, but social media with us. It's
social network?
Yeah, social network with us. Yes. You can social network with us. You can... on Facebook, if you're one of them old people that have Facebook, as the kids say, the Smooth Drama Group, ask to get in. Myself or Mr. J will throw you a bone. Mr. J will throw you a little bone. I should. Anyway, I kid, Mr. J. You know. I'm not talking about you while you're not listening. So if you do listen, I got you. Anywhere you find Smooth Drama, you Google Smooth Drama, wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me, I add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. In the meantime, in between time, you can also go to the website, smoothdrama.com. There you can find out about myself and Brown Sugar and Mr. J. You can stalk us a little bit, just a little bit, not quite enough for a stalker's taste, but it's like an appetizer for stalking. It's a slight appetizer for stalking. So if you're into that sort of thing, we got you.
That's what Facebook is all about.
That's true.
Stalking.
People stalk. So, also, you can go on there. You can take the survey. There's a lot of stuff. And soon there'll be a Smooth Drama game coming to a website near you that says Smooth Drama on it. I'm just saying. We trying to make stuff happen. The one thing that we're not trying to make happen, though, I'm just going to say, I'm going to start off with, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to start off with the hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
All right. Our hater of the week, Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore is one of them quote-unquote conservative talk show hosts. He had a little joke that he told about Barack Obama. So there was an interview on PBS's Firing Line where he said after the election, Trump was kicking a black family out of public housing.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah, Trump was kicking a black family out of public housing. And so, ha, 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 ha. That was so...
I'm confused because it was time for them to leave anyway.
Yeah, it's kicking them out.
And if the White House is public housing and it's housed more white people than it has housed black people. So I'm confused on that too. Like, where's the dig at?
Right. No. See, you don't get it though.
No, I don't.
See, that's the funny part, because we know it's more white people on welfare than it is anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's generally one of those things. Whatever black folks are accused of doing, white folks do it three times over. And so you talk about public housing. Yeah. I mean, they call it kickbacks. I mean, tax breaks. That's welfare. See, it's just welfare on a whole other level. It's a higher level of welfare where you get a check from the government.
It's more elegant.
Oh, it's way more elegant.
Elegant.
Yeah, I need that.
Right. Elegant welfare.
Right. I mean, because that elegant welfare is off the chain, right? I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In welfare checks. They call it something different, though. You know, business. It's a business.
Juncture.
No. What? See, I'm missing the word now. But it'll come to me eventually. But okay. It's like, business, they get a tax break because they spur on the economy. That's that trickle down economics.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, you know, give me a break. I got a business. I'll trickle down some economics. The trickle. It'd be an interesting trickle.
So is it trickle welfare or elegant welfare?
Well, I mean, according to them, it's elegant.
Okay.
But see, you give black folks money, it's welfare, you're a welfare queen. Mm. But they get money, they're not welfare kings. It's funny how that goes. And so, as we talk about this paradox. So, getting back to this hating ass saltine. So, he said, and I quote him, so you know that is a joke that I always made about, you know, Obama lives in, you know, the president lives in public housing. But I didn't mean it like a black person did.
What?
Now, yeah. Granted, Obama's a black person.
Yeah.
Last time we checked.
Born
black.
The only thing he has to do is stay black.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, nobody ever makes that joke about a white person in there. It's never been made about public housing. Just doesn't happen.
I'm just trying to understand, like, where is the insult, though?
Well,
I'm still, like, not understanding the insult.
Well, or for them, it's like, ha-ha, we got you darkies out.
But they were leaving anyway. He couldn't have stayed anyway.
Right.
So I'm confused.
But you got to remember, there's the...
I mean, unless another black person was coming in behind him and they lost, there was, you know...
No, but that's not the point.
Oh,
see, what they're talking about is, yeah, we got y'all out of there. So we just got tired of seeing black people on TV. I mean, because it was barely tolerable with Obama.
Oh, I understand that.
And he
that.
Was light-skinned.
Yeah, I'm not...
And you know when they saw Michelle Obama,
yeah,
she was like, yeah, she was just dark-skinned, tall, she was in shape.
Yeah.
And you had all her teeth. She didn't have no...
No wrinkles.
Right, no porn in her...
No.
She wasn't a former porn artist like... Somebody's wife is.
No reconstructive surgery.
Yeah, none of that. So it was like.
I mean, I understand that they were upset. I don't understand if he had lost and was supposed to come back, then I get it. But he couldn't have stayed anyway. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. That's one of those. I guess that's male humor.
No. No, I can't say that I've ever made that joke. And it's like, ha, 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 ha. And the fellas are like, ha, 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 ha. It's funny, man.
I don't understand the joke.
Right, because there was none.
Yeah.
But according to them, yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, sort of like our dumbass of the week. Because we just going to go there. Let's just go in early, right? It's like, why even play around?
Yeah.
dumbass of the week. This dude, he takes his computer into Best Buy because he wasted some gravy on it, right? I'm gonna name his name. Robert L. Watson. He got taken into custody and charged with 10 counts of possession of child pornography. So it stemmed from when he spilled gravy on his computer and decided to replace it at Best Buy. After buying a new laptop, he paid the store employees to transfer files from the old computer to the new one. The Geek Squad saw what looked like child porn videos on his computer, so they contacted the police. The police collected both computers after the transfer was completed, and they handled him. Said he had several images on his computer, including children about 4 and 5 years old. He said, I quote, "I downloaded the images because I wanted to tell other people about them."
So then you're sharing child porn now.
Yeah.
Basically.
I downloaded pictures of 4 and 5 year olds so I can tell other people about them. Yeah. Not only are you a creep, but you're a dumbass creep. And I hope Robert.
He'll be taken care of it.
Yeah.
And where he's gonna go.
Yeah. I hope they don't use lube.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Is there lube a purpose?
I'm guessing spit.
Okay. No. All right. Never mind. Never mind.
I mean, they might have
talking about
some lard or something.
All right.
Okay.
I was thinking something more nice, but
never mind. Yeah, no. Is there something nice in prison?
I mean, you know me. I'm all rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah,
so.
But prison ain't nice.
It's not. You know, like I said, I'm all rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, you know, you see the rainbow after... You felt that horn from the unicorn.
I feel the unicorn.
Right. That's what's happening.
Oh, goodness.
All right. And so, now, talking about dumbasses, this social media thing, we talk about you want people to listen to you. We try to have people listen. But it's like, prostitute. Do you prostitute yourself just so you can get some likes?
You know, I look at it like that too. But I think we're all hoes. So we're just, life is prostitution. You're hoeing at work.
Are you though?
Yeah, you will do what you need to do to make that money. No? I'm not saying, because see, my thing is this, it depends on how you look at it. The hoe that's on the corner, yeah, she's struggling. And the hoe that's in the hotel room, she looks down on the hoe that's on the corner. She's doing the same thing. Correct? She just has a little better...
Yeah, she's got a better
situation.
I got
better clientele.
Like, yeah.
But you're still doing the same thing.
Okay.
So I just feel like working in general is prostitution.
I'm slightly disagree with you there, and I'm gonna say,
you know, it's the money is the pimp. That dollar bill is the pimp. We will do what we need to do to make that money.
No, cause look, we know there are some professions that you can get into where you can make more money.
Yeah.
So we start talking about prostitution.
Yeah.
And then there are some things that you can do to prostitute yourself that are of no benefit, like prostitution. Although some people say
prostitution.
What do you
mean there's no benefit?
All right, but see,
that's a public service.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're not only, if you look, you know, you're a therapist possibly. You just don't have the degree.
Yeah, you're a therapist to a serial killer.
Possibly, but it might be a regular guy who just made somebody. You might be that one person. He might have been thinking about committing suicide.
Mm.
He came and saw you and all your sunshine.
Mm. Okay. I feel about that like you feel about the jail thing. Like,
no, I know. I'm not saying that it should be glorified or anything. It's one of those things that's been around since the beginning of time.
Mm. All right, well. I'm not even going to get to what I was talking about. We're going to come back to this when we come back. So I'm just, I've been, would it be prostitute? No, or is it nepotism? Nepotism.
Okay, nepotism is when you hire family.
Okay, well, I'm hiring nobody.
yeah, so if you hire family and they get special treatment, that's nepotism.
All right, well, I'm going to give out some special treatment here. This is from the files. He came from my boss. This is
negative.
Okay. This is Clay Creation, Supreme Clientele. Inhale, break beats to hell, and your life propels parallel. Roll it so tight, you're flat to burn cell. Inhale, break beats to hell, and your life propels. Bam! Put the gate there. Reception at the shows got me feeling like I'm triple platinum. Omega told me one day that I can make it happen. I got my image together like a collage. Now recording in LA instead of in my boy garage. The progression is ill. I play motives and thoughts for Ray J, and he said it gave him chills. I never take it ill. I learned my lessons from OGs who know me and told me keep it real. They got star grills and gassy footage. Cartel, the West Coast cartel. I blood their brain like Ober and Martell. The way I crammed heavenly words, give them all hell. Thank God for me. If I wasn't dropping this, it would what the winner be. Thank God for kids. I open doors and I see what other niggas believe. I know what I see. If I put the work in, then I know what I receive. I'm not a street nigga, I just know the road. I'm not a freeway nigga, I just know the code. Niggas won't say how they feel, but I don't even know. They spell everything with their eyes like Roman numerals. Made a couple promises to Alan at his funeral. I fulfilled one, so that mean I got a few to go. Meeting, manager, venue. So I'm about to eat, and success is on the menu. Sitting here reflecting on the things that I've been through. Said they didn't know that I could, but I've been through. And this goes way beyond music. I pray my run lasts for eons. I just drop knowledge so they understand what we on. I've seen the devil's face in a flash of red neon. This is shit that separates men from the gods. You should bring your whole squad just to even the odds. Nigga, ain't no such thing as a halfway crook. I spent time on my hooks to make pop rap shit. They want me all typical, lyrical, miracle, spiritual content. Stacking and packing syllables, this is some nonsense. They have the fame, they ain't trying to wait. Bitchy niggas have the hooks because they taking the bait. Combinations on their songs, they just playing in fake. Man, my life is Thanksgiving, got a lot on my plate. I do it for the culture. Won't stop till everything gets played like a sculpture. I'm doing this shit for closure. A man on the scene with dreams of getting cream. Rather die king than get 20 million streams. Recording demo tracks in Calabasas, my pen and padded. The freaking raddest, I write my verses up in the Stratus. Like your favorite MCs up, and I defeat them. I ain't the most high, my nigga, I just repeat them. My daddy gave me Malcolm X speeches, I would read them. He told me one day I'd be the man to lead them. Meeting, manager, venue. I'm about to eat, and success is on the menu. Sitting here reflecting on the things that I've been through. Said they didn't know that I could, but I've been through. Meeting, manager, venue. I'm about to eat, and success is on the menu. Sitting here reflecting on the things that I've been through. Said they didn't know that I could, but I've been through. All I need is 1, 2, 3 minutes to take your life. All I need is 1, 2, 3 minutes to just take life. All I need is 1, 2, 3 minutes to make things right. It's gonna be a good night. Yeah.
I need is 1, 2, 3 minutes just take flight. All I need is 1, 2, 3 minutes make things right. That's gonna be a good night. It's gonna be a good night.
Supreme Clientele. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, I think pretty much half of America has already seen Endgame.
Not me.
Okay.
I said half.
See, like, there's a snapping of the finger. Half the people died in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Half the people have seen it. And the other half that haven't seen it, probably because of them long lines, you're dissuaded from going to see it.
Oh, I have the opportunity and it was missed. So I probably won't go see it.
No.
I mean, unless the opportunity comes again.
I'm guessing it's going to come up, because it's like...
I mean, I don't know too many people that have sit through it, like another 3 hours,
well,
that they've already sat through it.
It's like the perfect movie.
To sit through again?
It's like the perfect movie. I'm just saying, it's like the perfect movie. It's
mm-hmm.
close to it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's... superhero movies go, it's,
yeah.
I mean, it's my second favorite movie of all time. It's like, it's way up there.
Okay.
Anyway, I bring this up.
Yes.
You know, even though I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to bring it, because I'm talking about using the Infinity Stones, right?
Okay.
So, the Infinity Stones, if you've seen Infinity War at least, you know that you can pretty much do anything. Whatever you think it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a normal human can't use the Infinity Gauntlet because it burns you out. You gotta have a little bit to you. You gotta have some superpower
mm-hmm.
to you, or your ass is gonna die.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, but, I mean, if I could use the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things I would do.
Okay.
I mean, I got a long list. Right? I mean, it's a long list. You talking about, you got the time gym and all that other stuff. Like, because, you know, you talking about going back in time and you can change some shit, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first thing I would do, stopping all the black folks getting killed by the cops.
Mm.
Now, they talk about, if you do that, there's some alternative realities
that
would happen.
Things are gonna happen.
Butterfly effect, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't give a damn. I mean, because butterfly effects, alternative realities, whatnot.
Our lives. What could be worse than that? I mean, even if that person was killed in a car accident, or if they were hit by a car, or, you know, some other, it would be an accident.
Yeah, let's see.
To be shot by the police.
Right.
So then, yeah.
Right. Or shot by a racist bastard like George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
See, because, you know, all of the black folks that was taken off the earth when they shouldn't have been. Stop that.
Or that way, because maybe that was their time to go. Maybe if you changed it, they would just go in a different way.
Yeah, but see, I don't believe it.
No?
No. I don't believe it. I don't believe in that predetermined.
Oh, you don't?
No. I do not. See, I think that the shit just happens. See, because then you're saying, okay, so it's set in stone how it's going to be. I don't believe it. So if we talking about things set in stone, so why? I mean, so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, so you saying, well, I can only be this.
Well, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and then there's things to where I'm like, if that's the case, why do things happen the way that they happen?
Oh.
So if you were going down the street and you made a left, and if you had left 5 minutes early and made that same left, you would have missed this or miss that, or certain things wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
You know, so then, yeah, it is kind of like, well, that is kind of predetermined, right?
No. It just happens. I mean, you walk outside and the bees are out there, you get stung. Is it predetermined that bee was going to sting you? I mean, because you decided to walk outside.
How do you know that, though?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So I just believe that you have a choice. So we choose to go outside. Right, like we choose to talk.
Yeah.
Some people choose not to talk.
Yeah.
You choose to talk. I'm saying that it's a choice and that it ain't written in stone. None of it is. I just think so. If I went back with my Infinity Stones and I stopped all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, ain't no slavery.
Yeah.
With all that.
Yeah, well, who knows what that would be like.
Right.
I think about that all the time.
Right. So, so yeah, I look at it like, yeah.
Well,
if black folks not put in an unnatural position that was slavery, what could happen? I can think of there could be way worse, but I can think of there could be way better. Yeah. But all that is to say, thinking the positive. So what we're talking about here is this. The fallacy in the writing and the thought process. I have to kill half the universe so that people can survive. They'll appreciate what they have. But if you have the power to kill half the universe, you have the power to double the resources in the universe.
Yeah.
Triple, quadruple.
True.
So why would you not just...
Because he loved death.
Yeah, but see, once again, yeah, but that wasn't, it wasn't just about love and death. I mean, because that ain't, the comic book is different from the writer. See, because the writers have real-world bias, right?
Because, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's that bias about the useless eaters.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where that comes from. So we got to get rid of half these people so that we could survive and go forward. But, see, I would caution that, yeah, there's a lot of people on Earth, but we don't even use, but what? 15-20% of the Earth. I'm like, there's islands. We're in California.
Yeah.
We're in California. We don't even use but a third of California. Really. We build baseball, football, basketball stadiums when we could build the desalination plant. Where, since we're right on the water, and the world is, what, 70% water? One of them. It's a high mark.
Yeah.
Right? So, you can build them plants and have more clean water. I'm like, so we right on the ocean, but we have droughts.
Yeah.
How does that work? Desalination plants, they say they cost millions of dollars. The stadium costs $1 billion.
Yeah.
How many stadiums do we need?
But does that bring in revenue, though? Will that bring in revenue? Will that make whoever owns it more money?
Well, but see, but that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about a philosophy of I'm a take instead of I'm a give. So if we're talking about a philosophy of I'm a give, if you create the implant, there is no drought in Central California. Snow drought. So water, fresh water, plants, food for people to eat. And conversely, if you can grow and all this other stuff, you'll need workers.
You sound like rainbows and unicorns right
now. No, I'm not sounding like rainbows. I'm talking about just practicality.
And you know me, I agree with what you're saying, but is it going to make money? You have to think about
it. No, I know. But see, that's what I'm saying.
People are not practical. They are after money.
Right. I mean, but money is a construct that we give power to. And so, I mean, you give money, you give power to a construct that doesn't benefit you as a community, which is kind of what we're doing now. I mean, because we when we talk about black folks, the difference between black folks and everybody else. So, you know, your Arabs, your Asians, Jews, they understand. You know, Jews are white people too. But they understand that white people hate them. But they spend their dollars with themselves. Black folks, we don't, ain't no little Africa. You know, you can go to every place and there's a little China.
There's Chinatown, Japantown.
Right.
No, and you know, there's I don't know if it's still called Jingle Town, but that's what it was called when the Hispanics
They all, when they open up the grocery store, they're all there.
Yeah.
They're all there. You can walk into a Mexican store anywhere. They're all there. You walk into a black store, is all black folks there? Is it always full? See, I remember in San Diego, there was a black grocery store that opened up.
Yeah.
I remember that first week I was there.
But the other nationalities or races have not been conditioned the same way we have.
Okay.
So, and I was just talking, it's funny, I was just talking to somebody about this a few weeks ago because they're expecting a child and they were talking about how they're going to raise their child a certain way. And I said, that's fantastic, but the real world for us is not what it is for everyone else. We don't have traditions. We don't have, I hate to say it, but we don't have culture. You can say that hip-hop is our culture and, you know, R&B music is our culture. But, I mean, it's more to life than just that.
Well, no, that's not a cultural practice.
Exactly. So, but that's what we refer to as when we talk about we do it for the culture. Well, what culture? What are they talking about?
Okay. So we say, all right, we do it for the culture. What is black culture? Why is there no black culture? Now, once again, yes. We know slavery and all these other things. And we know there's the oppression.
And even some of that was cultural, we've come away from because being conditioned to adopt or adapt to Western civilization.
All right. So, here's the thing, though. See, we talk about Western civilization and adapting to Western civilization.
Yeah.
We can say in the history of the world, we're the first conquered people to give up our culture. We're the first and only that have given up their culture.
Yes, because I would say even Native Americans still have theirs.
Oh, yes. They still believe what they believe.
Yeah.
You know,
But I look at that as us, them conditioning us to be ashamed of our culture. So therefore, we don't pass it down. The difference between us and other cultures is they pass it down. Even if the family is dysfunctional.
Okay.
So let's just say for Hispanics, in some Hispanic cultures or in neighborhoods, there's a ton of gangs and gang violence. But they still have their quinceañeras, they still do, and they go to all that stuff. They still do their religious, you know, their Catholic religious things, their catechisms and their communions. They still do all of that.
Right.
They pass it down. We did not pass it down.
All right. So then you say, why is that?
Because we were conditioned to think that it was bad and we were supposed to be ashamed of it.
Right, but see, I'm not going to say that shouldn't be there, but we're at a point where we know that. So we're 2019.
Yeah.
We know white folks do not like us.
Yeah, so now everybody's scrambling to find, to grasp hold of something. So then there's the people who believe in going to church. And then there's the people who believe in just being spiritual. And then there's the people who believe we have all these sub-ideas.
Okay. So, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying, so still, why can't, and it's not a monolithic thing. Everybody don't need to believe the same thing, but there's the whole...
We kind of do, though. For us to be unified, that's what holds everybody. When you're Jewish, you believe in Judaism and you practice, like, Ramadan is next week. All the Muslims are talking about Ramadan. That's their one thing. That's their common thing that they're holding on to right now. We don't necessarily have anything like that in the black culture or African American culture. That's another thing. We can't even agree on what we are.
Well,
you know what I mean? There's still some of us who are African American. There's still some of us who are black. The only thing we know we aren't is colored.
Well,
nobody wants to be colored.
If you go to Africa, there are people who are colored.
Oh, see?
But that's a whole other continent.
So, I mean, but to me, that's an extension of the conditioning. It is.
Okay.
Because here they are in their native land. With, you know, with them, it's their land, and they still can't be who they are.
Well, who are we talking about?
Africans.
No, I think they are.
I think a lot of them still are ashamed. If they weren't ashamed, they wouldn't be bleaching their skin in some parts of it.
Well,
right?
Well, yeah. Some of that.
They
would
be wearing weaves.
Yeah. But once again, we're talking about that's not necessarily culture, because wigs and all that.
Well,
that
I know
stuff.
I'm not saying it's culture, but it speaks to the conditioning of us hating ourselves, of not being okay with our hair, with not being okay with our skin. So if we don't love ourselves,
right? Yeah, who's gonna love you?
Yeah, but then we can't even think about culture or tradition or what we should be doing or how we can start a business plan or how we can gain back a neighborhood, you know.
Well,
like for Nipsey Hussle, I would have never thought he was Eritrean, from Eritrea, his family.
Well, I mean, but that's...
So to me...
He had a collective economics. There's
the
a point.
The belief system is different still.
Well, yeah, but we're still talking about black people need to learn to be able to be comfortable with each other. See, because there's a being comfortable with each other, which we are to a point.
Yeah. Now, I will be the first to say I'm not. I'm really not.
Right. But see, that's because we know that there are factions who would rather be like their oppressors than they would be comfortable with having an honest conversation about being. So even like, you know, somebody being, oh, you're trying to kick knowledge. You're trying to kick knowledge. I'm going to get at you because you're trying to make sense. And so that's where we got a segment of the population that's stuck on that.
Yeah.
And that's where we have a difference of opinion. That's where we have that schism. And it divides us in an unnatural way.
Yeah. And, well, I don't have time to think about
right.
all that other stuff. I gotta feed my family.
Right. Yeah, we trying to live.
Exactly.
You can't
think. I can't think. So, you know, it's one of those sad things to where, like I said, it wasn't passed down like for Nipsey. It's my thing
well,
is like, when I found
down.
Out for him, but his upbringing, he might have had those traditions. Like when you saw his funeral and his family was wearing the clothes that was appropriate for burial, and you know, all that means something. All that is for you to be proud in your culture and who you are. And we don't have that. Like, when people were getting the dashikis and, you know, the new dashikis, and they were beautiful, but to me, I couldn't relate to that. I wore my dad's that he had in the 60s. I could relate to that. This new one, to me, although it's beautiful, it doesn't have anything that I can, like, grab hold to that's meaningful to me.
Okay. Well, we'll explore that when we come back. So, I'm doing nepotism again.
Okay.
This is HISD, my favorite song, Candle Sunrise.
Life, husband, wife, mama's like, see it in the early morning, all the cool. Smooth as a finger touch, keep the same brush, not to make a mean fuss, but I'm pulling my feet, contradicts the art street, a vegan eat the cheese. I'm ironic that we meet, trying to reach the same piece. I'm just giving you a piece of mine. This time, open your eyes, piano sun.
Together you got the smooth drummer.
Piano Sunrise, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right, we was talking about black folks.
Is this what you were supposed to be talking about?
I was supposed to be, because, you know,
yeah.
I've been on my Malcolm X. You know, right now Malcolm X is sitting, like, I told y'all, when he said, hey, chickens coming home to roost, they clucking like a mother out here. I mean, you know, opioid crisis is going on. We have kindness and compassion out here now toward opioid users. I mean, it even went as far as I saw a video where they're using virtual reality for people who are going through pain. And so instead of prescribing painkillers, hey, we give you that virtual reality and you go into a whole other world, whatnot, so you don't have to get addicted to the drugs.
Their brains.
Right. Exactly. Compassion. Now, that same compassion 20 years ago was not there. 30 years ago, hell no. Right? It was like, woo, we gonna get these laws, three strikes.
Yeah.
We gonna, hey, 25.
I would say there was some compassion. That's when people were getting in programs. They were trying to, you know, put people in programs and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So,
at least here in the Bay, I can't speak for if it was nationwide. I can only speak from.
Right,
and well, then I was young at that time, so maybe the few families that I knew who were affected by it, maybe for them, you know.
All right. So, but we're talking about chickens coming home to roost. So when we talk about chicken coming home to roost, we're talking about a three-pronged attack on the black community. First, take away all the jobs in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
You didn't need a degree to get a good job, take care of your family in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Take all the industry out the hood.
Yeah.
First step.
Yeah.
Second step, flood the communities. Oakland, ground zero. Because remember, Hoover came here personally and said that, you know, this is the number one threat. The strong black man.
Yeah.
Boom.
Now what's happening here?
Flood the areas in the neighborhood with them drugs. So you take the jobs, give them drugs, sling the drugs, destroy families. Because the third step was break up the black family.
It did.
Right. Because once again, Marcus Garvey had $1 million in donations in like 1910. So money wasn't the issue. Black folks were sending him money from all over the country. So I think we was doing all right. So you do those three-pronged attacks, and you get the conditions that we were put in, that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You're just trying to survive, whatnot. So now, we kind of got past that. We kind of on a mini upswing again. But you create that environment like it ain't going to happen to you. But chickens coming home to roost. He said they killed Kennedy. But part of that was, hey, you ain't above us. We will kill you.
That's collateral damage.
Right. And so now collateral damage is the suburbs.
Yeah.
Suburbs is flooded with them drugs. And their families is being broken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things. And now I can't even turn on TV. After 9 o'clock, you can flip these channels, and they got the compassion. We need some compassion. We got all these city ordinances on how we gonna handle all these broken families from the drug and whatnot, and all these programs. Lightening the sentences. Hey, sentencing is not where it's at. See, because it's a suburban problem.
Yeah.
That's the chickens coming home to roost. It's hilarious. I find it just
funny. I do, but I also feel like the people who, because they're not above collateral damage, there it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, right.
That it's us now. Who are affected by it, but really the us that's affected by it are, you know, they're beneath us anyway. It's like the useless eaters. So okay, so
well,
maybe a senator or a judge's son or daughter might get involved, and if they OD, you know what? We're sorry that happened to you, but you know, you knew.
Well,
can't help that you didn't talk to your kid about it.
That's the game.
Exactly.
That's the game. I mean, because
exactly.
They understand we've got a culture. If you follow the game plan, you're good.
Yeah.
If you don't,
then
you don't. So, speaking of following the game plan, of course, we got to talk about Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again? Well, Facebook banned everybody. Farrakhan, InfoWars. Somebody, Yannanopoulos, whatever. I don't know who they are. Don't plan on finding out who they are. But they didn't ban the white supremacists.
I thought that was their whole reason for banning things. Like, to ban the white supremacists.
Yeah, I kind of looked through it. I didn't see it.
Well, that's what they said. That was like the headline.
Right.
Into banning white supremacists.
Yeah, but that kind of is not what happened. No.
So then they need to change the headlines. Facebook did not ban.
Well, we kind of know.
Everyone else.
Yeah, we kind of know that white folks don't consider white supremacists dangerous. Even though, contrary to popular belief, chickens coming home to roost, whatnot. We know if there's going to be a shooting that's going to happen at a school, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be that disgruntled white dude who's mad because I can't beat the final level on the video game. I mean, because that's what it's coming down to. I mean, because you remember that the whole angry white man thing?
Yeah.
And you know, most black folks are sitting up there like, well, why are you angry? What are you angry about? You're winning.
Right.
See, it's
even
like,
even when you're losing.
Right. But they ain't losing. It's like, well, y'all have black privilege. It's
well,
like,
I mean, there are some white people that are, you know, not, they're below.
Yeah.
But they're still winning, though. They still have a better opportunity than most black people. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, because if you're white and losing, hey,
you're not trying.
You ain't trying. You ain't trying at all.
You're not trying.
You fucking up. Actually, you on the woo side.
That's the way it is.
Right. So, hey. yeah. So I marvel at that real art. But it leads me into where we're ending here. John Singleton died.
Yeah.
51.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, everything that he had done. Like, all of his movies. You know how you... Because he came out when I was young, and so, you know, and then it's funny because I was talking to my... I have a son who's in his 20s, and I was talking to him about all the black TV shows that were on and all the black movies that were on and how we don't have that now. And how, like, why didn't he? And then, you know, you just think, like, why can't other black people do what was going on in the 90s now?
Well, I think part of it is just a competition. It's like, so you'll have folks who don't want to mentor the competition. Because Hollywood is not like a brotherhood.
No.
It's a competition.
Yes, I could see. Because you're here today and gone tomorrow.
Right,
so you got to do what you got to do.
So I'm Spike Lee. See, the difference is there's the Hollywood powers, and then they filter it out to you. So we know black movies. There's only going to be a certain amount of people, and there's only going to be a certain amount of money that's going to be. So you're not going to get Spike Lee and John Singleton and what's the cross-dressing? I can't remember the cross-dressing's name. Tyler Perry. You're not going to get them mentoring other folks.
Yeah.
And so that's why. You don't get that. And so we think about him, I mean, in the great movies that he did. Like you said, you wonder why. The legacy.
Yeah.
And so this generation doesn't really know who John Singleton is.
Right.
And that's the travesty of justice right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Well, like I said, I forgot. Besides Boys in the Hood. I had forgot.
Higher Learning. I mean,
As crazy as Baby Boy was, it was a lesson in it. That was real.
Right.
You know, that was real.
Right. Baby Boy, the movie Tupac and
Poetic Justice. That was real.
Right. I mean, and that's just a regular drama story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I'm doing him a disservice because I don't have all the movies. You can't run them off the tongue, the ones that he did, because he did a few more than that. But point is, he had a legacy. He influenced other black folks to get into filmmaking.
Yeah.
He's one of them, you know, and he's gone.
Yeah.
And nobody knows who he is, really.
No.
Because it's something that's not passed. Something that's not passed down. And so it's what you was talking about earlier when you say these things, culture is not passed down.
Yeah.
Because we're more in competition with each other instead of saying, hey, well, you know, this next generation, I want you to take it and be better.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing.
Yeah, because I don't think we would be so angry about gentrification had we listened to repeatedly. In Boys in the Hood, when Lawrence Fishburne is talking about gentrification.
Yep. A John Singleton movie.
Yes.
Whew. R.I.P. John Singleton. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. F. The N Word. This was another Smooth Drum production. We are out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.